We recently marked 24 years since the September 11th terrorist attacks. On that day and the many days that followed, our first responders did what was right. They did their duty. Yet within, think about this, within less than a week, they were already being lied to, as they were told by then EPA Director Christy Whitman and others, that the environment they were working in was safe. Fast forward to today, and we find that according to most recent reports, 48,579 first responders and others have been diagnosed with September 11th related cancers. The consequences of that time have left many more dealing with other illnesses. The World Trade Center Health Program was created to provide the necessary medical care for these heroes. This program is now being endangered by a combination of politics and an ignorance of health care, quite frankly. Our first guest today is here to explain what is happening and why with the World Trade Center Health Program. She's a partner with the law firm Barash McGarry, Salzman and Penson. Dana Cohen, how are you today, Dana?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me, Chris.
Well, thank you for the work that your firm has long been engaged in and doing what seems obvious, but some people want to make it challenging. BarashMcGarry.com. Learn more about the legal services of the firm, and we have that link at our homepage as well. As a foundation for the listener, what was the goal, the purpose of the World Trade Center Health Program?
The goal of the program, there were several. So one of the goals was ensuring that the 9/11 community would receive health care for 9/11 related conditions. It also provides medical monitoring for the 9/11 community. And importantly, it also conducts studies to determine what illnesses are affecting the 9/11 community. So the illnesses that are covered by the program have changed over time. They've added new illnesses. And the reason that happens is that the health program is studying, NIOSH is studying the 9/11 community, and as it learns more, and as is appropriate, new conditions have been added. So cancer, for example, wasn't in the first iteration of the World Trade Center Health Program. That came later. And there are several conditions that are still being, that are being looked at, and that's paused in the current environment.
For the person listening, this might sound vaguely familiar because this is this is what became of the James Zadroga 9/11 Health and Compensation Act of 2010. And you might recall that it was sporadic funding. It would have to be renewed and revoted on, reorganized over and over and over again. But then there was that one time when it was authorized, the program was authorized until the year 2090. But Dana, that did not guarantee funding until 2090, does it?
So it does and it doesn't. There are two programs that are covered by that bill, and the first is the World Trade Center Health Program. The second is the September 11th Victim Compensation Fund. The health program, the way it works is it has a funding formula, you know, that provides funding that is supposed to take into account the needs of the program over time. But so many people have enrolled in the program, so many more than were anticipated, that there's now a projected shortfall in funding for the World Trade Center Health Program. So it's not that the funding will stop, but it is the case that it will not be enough. And by the year 2027, it is anticipated that the fund will not be able to serve the community in the way that it does today. So it will have to turn people away. People who develop, who are in the program now and develop new illnesses, might not be covered for those illnesses. And it is also the case that the important studies to find out what illnesses are affecting the 9/11 community will also stop.
There seems to be a common thread with the current regime at Health and Human Services. They don't seem to be very fond of research, do they not?
Not currently. It's a challenge, certainly, for the health program. So the health program, in January, there were 93 physicians with the health program, you know, that were not counting the people in the clinics where people go, but 93 physicians doing these studies, approving people for care. Today there are 80. And the health program has gone through some shockwaves, right, because a number of the doctors, and including Dr. Howard, were laid off when Elon Musk and Doge made cuts really indiscriminately. So they were hired back, but not before creating a good amount of chaos. But then there was also, you may remember, the fork in the road email that Elon Musk also sent out. And so some people did leave because it's not an easy environment to stay in when you don't know what might happen next. So today there are just 80 physicians, and it's not enough.
Man, we're talking with Dana Cohen, partner with law firm Barash McGarry Salzman Penson, talking about the World Trade Center health program and in current state of endangerment in a variety of ways, which we're about to get into. BarashMcGarry.com is the law firm website. We have that on our homepage as well. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned a shortfall, and this sounds like a lot of money to the person listening, but for government spending, $3 billion is not a significant chunk of change, but yet this seems to be such a major issue for what seems, by most logically thinking people, to be an obvious requirement. What are the explanations? Because we're dealing with over 142,000 people currently in this program and spreading from all across the country. So if a member of Congress can say, well, it's not my district, well, odds are you got someone in your district that's in this program.
Oh, absolutely. So I've been to Washington three times in the last 3 months, and there are certainly people fighting for this funding who have been much more than that. You know, there's a bill that's in Congress now, H.R. 1410, and it's seeking to change this funding formula to fix the shortfall. And as everybody knows, it's not easy to get something passed right now. And that's the fight. So there are about, I haven't checked, you know, 80 sponsors or so in the House for the bill. I know that it's going up due to the advocacy work. You know, we're going office to office trying to explain to people that these are their constituents. You know, people who are in the 9/11 community are everywhere. And while they are disproportionately, you know, in New York and New Jersey and Florida, you know, the Carolinas where a lot of New Yorkers retire to, people came to New York to respond to the emergency from everywhere. And people left New York to go everywhere. So these are their constituents. One of the things we can see is that the number of people applying to the health program is increasing. And that's not in a single district. That's across the board. So everywhere that people are, more of them are getting into the program.
With that cut in staff, has that slowed down? You mentioned how a variety of illnesses and diseases are covered by the World Trade Center Health Program, and research, such as it currently is, but there was more significant research up until the here and now, justified adding conditions to the list of diseases covered by the program. Is the staff cutting impacting those applications?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There are applications that the 9/11 community is waiting to hear on, that they include certain autoimmune diseases, certain cardiac issues. And we expected that we would be getting an answer on those petitions. You know, and it's important to know one way or another whether they found a connection, but we haven't heard anything. There are other illnesses where we can see that the 9/11 community is disproportionately affected, but there's just no way to get those petitions through right now, to get that looked at.
I see one of the other plans is to move the World Trade Center Health Program into a new agency. They're calling it the Administration for a Healthy America. I guess that's part of the MAHA movement or some sort of. But to me, knowing what organizational structures are like, when you move an agency into another agency, you're looking to further consolidate. That this can't be a positive.
I hope that whatever they do with this program, they recognize it as sacred, and that they don't consolidate and try to cut services and cut research to this community.
I've noticed too that they're calling it a communications embargo. At what point does stopping communications with those attached to a significant, much needed program, when does that appear to be like a good idea?
Never. And the way that that's being felt, acutely is in the 9/11 community. So there are advocacy groups and committees that the health program would meet with so that they could effectively bring issues to the health program. And those meetings have not been able to go forward since this communications embargo began. So while the health program can meet with individual members of the program, they can't really meet with the advocates that are trying to bring the bigger issues before them.
It almost sounds like a backdoor way of shutting down any potential pushback from within the organization.
It's hard to know what the reason was. It seems that it's an across-the-board thing with many organizations, and this organization gets caught up in some of the politics that are going on today. I don't think anybody thinks it's a good idea to have this communication embargo, but you get caught up in these unusual times.
And on the horizon, as we have to start to wrap up here, contracts with the World Trade Center, Clinical Centers of Excellence, Health Program Data Centers, National Program Administrative Support Contracts, and the Pharmacy Benefit Management, they're going to be up for renewal soon. So if this quagmire is continuing to exist, that's going to be additional complications for the almost 150,000 people who are enrolled in this program. So moving forward, Dana, what is your firm doing, and what should the participants in this program realistically at this point in time be expecting?
So for us, we are we want people to know that the health program is still working. People should still apply. It's very important. They shouldn't be afraid that the benefits won't be there. It's more important than ever that people show how important this program is. Our firm will continue to go to Washington. We will continue to shine a light on this issue everywhere that we can. And we believe that the funding will be corrected. We think that Congress will do the right thing. It's not our sense that anybody wants to see this program fail to fulfill its mission. So we believe in it, and we're going to continue to fight for it. We think people should be calling, call your congressman, please. That's so important. It means so much more to them to hear from constituents. So wherever you are, especially in places that are not New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania, just let them know how important this is.
And certainly with the voice that the law firm Dana is with, Barash, McGarry, Salzman, and Benson, they're adding support for you as a survivor of that horrible time and everything that you're dealing with for a variety of reasons, which I mentioned back in the introduction. We've talked about numerous times over the years here on Issues and Ideas. But they also are advocates for you with those who are the decision makers. So combined, I think we have the effort we need to indeed protect what is a obviously very worthy program, the World Trade Center Health Program. If you are having concerns, legal issues regarding getting the care that you deserve in this program, certainly contact the law firm. They can help you out, guide you, and support you as well. We have the link to their website at our homepage, BarashMcGarry.com. She is law partner with the law firm Barash McGarry, Salzman Penson. Dana Cohen, thank you for fighting for what's right, which sounds so weird when you think about it, but when you look at the so many elements that try to complicate the obvious, it's a necessary fight, and you certainly are champions in it. Thanks for being here today.